Well, as you might know, in recent years, the diocese has been having an annual focus. A year of mercy, a year of the Bible, a year of prayer, and this year in 2019, a year of vocation, focusing on the idea of calling. That is vocation not just to full-time paid Christian work, that some might become ministers and missionaries or whatever, but the calling of all God's people. I want us to think today, probably quite briefly, what we can learn about our calling or vocation from John the Baptist, from Jesus, and from Israel. So in our Bible reading and elsewhere, John the Baptist is always very clear about his vocation. If you look again at the beginning of our Gospel reading, verse 15, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. And consistently in the Gospel, what John does is pour a bucket of cold water on people's excitement about who he is. John answers them, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." They're familiar words to us, aren't they, which we've thought about before. John says, in effect, when I will get you wet on the outside, I'll give you a ceremonial wash, but there's another one coming far greater than me. I'm not even worthy to be a menial servant to him, the lowest possible servant who would bend down and untie his the folds of his sandals. He will give you a new heart. He'll make you clean on the inside. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John is always downplaying himself. He's saying, I'm just a voice. I'm a witness. I point away from myself to him, to the greater coming one. He said, he, Jesus, must become greater. I must become less. It's a wonderful example of humility. The position of Messiah is taken. Some of us are tempted to put the weight of the world on our shoulders, to think that sometimes everything depends on us. But it really doesn't. Jesus is the saviour of the world, and he knows what he's doing. He is in control. The mission is his. And we, like John the Baptist, are called faithfully and humbly to play our part in what God is doing in the world. John does so with tremendous courage, doesn't he? He warns the people of the judgment to come. It's not exactly a message calculated for maximum popularity, is it? And he ends up in trouble by confronting Herod over his immorality. It doesn't end well for him. Herod is John is thrown into prison, and we know he ends up being beheaded. His ministry seems, in some ways, like a tragic failure, total defeat. But success is not what we might think of as success. Faithfulness is success. When John entered glory, no doubt God said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." John the Baptist, an example of humility and courage and faithfulness, playing our part in God's great mission, faithfully. And then what was the vocation of Jesus? You can see his appearance on the scene there in verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus too was baptized. Jesus came where we are. He walked our way. He took our part. He lived in ordinary and full human life. So look again at verse 23. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. So we only have 3 years of Jesus' ridicule rising the gospel. We know something about his birth and his youth, but really very little about that whole 30 years. But there was a full, ordinary, real human life of Jesus, growing up in his human family, working faithfully as an apprentice to his father, we guess, becoming the carpenter from Nazareth. He knew all the ordinary pressures and temptations of life. He was faithful in an ordinary vocation, a normal calling as a skilled tradesman. And now he comes to be baptized. That's a surprise in the Gospels, and a number of the Gospel writers draw attention to it. It shows that Jesus has come to share the human lot. John's baptism is a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And John the Baptist does a double take when Jesus comes to be baptized, because he knows that Jesus is the sinless, perfect Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. What is Jesus doing coming to be baptized when he has no sins that need to be forgiven? He's coming to stand in the place of sinners, to take our place. The flood waters of baptism are a picture in the Bible of death. They speak to us of the cross, Jesus' unique saving mission to which he was called. He, the sinless one, would take the place of sinners, that he would die for them, that we might be forgiven. And now Jesus stands on the brink of his vocation, his 3 years of public ministry. And God the Father said to him, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." I want us to think on that, about the fact that vocation flows from identity. Vocation flows from identity. What we do comes from who we are. Sometimes we get a great sense of ourselves from maybe our job, from the different roles that we fulfill. But our sense of identity should come from what we do. Our identity doesn't depend on whether we're employed or unemployed, whether we're recognised or not. It doesn't depend on our performance. What God would say to us, if we're trusting in Christ, is, "You are my child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." When God looks at us, in a sense he sees Jesus, his performance, his record, his perfect, spotless character, our sins transferred to him, and his righteousness given to us. We are loved. As believers, we don't have to work our way into God's good books. And that should give us great security to live as God's children, to seek to bear the family likeness. In our Old Testament reading, God speaks to the people Israel about their identity as his people, and he promises their return from exile. They are returned, they are created and formed by God, redeemed, brought back from their slavery to sin by the payment of a price, called by name and known by God, belonging to him, precious and honoured in God's sight, and loved by him. God doesn't promise them an easy life. They might go through water and fire, but what makes all the difference? It is that he is with them, and so they're not to be afraid. Jesus would frequently say the same thing to his disciples. He often tells them, "Do not be afraid." And as he rises from the dead, he gives them the great commission. He says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." And what is it that makes all the difference? "And I will be with you always," he says, "even to the end of the age." Well, may God enable us faithfully to play our part in his purposes with humility and courage, knowing in Christ that we are dearly loved children and that he is with us.